Well, good morning again, Christ Church. That was awesome worship this morning. I'm so glad you're here as we celebrate today the third Sunday in Advent. Just in 2 weeks, we'll be here worshiping on Christmas Eve with those services, one in the morning at 10:30 and then two in the afternoon at 1 and 2:30. We hope you're planning to be with us sharing some good news with our neighbors and friends. That song, Joy to the World, this morning, that was just like a little dress rehearsal for what's to come there, all right? Well, we have been focusing on those four words, hope, love, joy, and peace. And today, our theme is joy. Now, during this journey, our chief symbol has been the star. The star, we see it just as it guided those wise men to Bethlehem. It's guiding us on our journey to that place where we will once again bow down and worship Jesus. And on that first Christmas night, as that star shone brightly above the stable in Bethlehem, and the wise men followed that star, the shepherds were in their field tending their flocks, and an angel appeared to them with these words. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Now take a look at those verses. They're very well-known verses to us that we hear every Christmas. And ask this question, what causes great joy? What causes great joy? What does it say there? It's good news. It's good news that causes great joy. It's the good news of a Savior. And who is this good news for? It's for all people. And that is every one of us here this morning. So whatever challenges and trials you're facing in your life right now, I want you to leave here today bolstered by a spirit of joy that comes through the good news of Jesus Christ. Because whether it's Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, or any day of the year, that good news is available to us. I found a definition this week of joy that I wanted to share with you. It comes from John Piper, who's a well-known Bible teacher here in the Twin Cities. Check this out in your notes and fill in these blanks if you would like so that you can, you know, take this home and chew on it a little bit this week. John Piper says, "Christian joy is a good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit as He causes us to see the beauty of Jesus in the Word and in the world." That's quite a definition, isn't it? But what I want you to notice about that definition is that joy is something that God gives deep in the soul, and it's not something that we can create or just stir up by ourselves. It's given by the Holy Spirit, and it's the result of knowing Jesus. As we come to know Him through His Word, as we see Him reflected in the beauty of His creation around us, and as we receive that good news in Christ. But there's some confusion in our world about the difference between joy and happiness. And I was looking at a lot of Bible references this week. Now, happiness is talked about in the Scriptures, but it's usually talked about as something that's more immediate and something that really is elusive in nature. In other words, in the Bible, when you find the word happiness, it's that somebody's happy that they've finished a journey. Or at one point it says, the role of husbands is to make their wives happy. How about that, guys? Is that possible? I think we need the Holy Spirit for that too, don't we? But most often when you find the word happy in the Scriptures, happy and joy are actually connected together, which would lead you to believe that they have a slightly different meaning. And I think, as I said, that happy refers more to present circumstances and feelings that can come and go. We can be happy one minute and sad the next, whereas joy in the Scriptures, a Christian understanding of joy, is that it's a permanent state deep in our soul, as that definition says, that is not something that's dependent on our circumstances. Does that make sense, everybody? That's an important distinction between just seeking happiness in the world and actually finding true joy in our Savior Jesus Christ. And we see that distinction between joy and happiness in a text like this, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says simply, rejoice always. Now, I don't think that Paul would have encouraged us to rejoice always if joy wasn't something that could be a permanent state in our minds and in our hearts. Here's another one, Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. To rejoice is to find joy over and over again in every circumstance in life. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. A few of the circumstances where we are to experience joy. And one that I find most fascinating is the illustration of finding joy in the midst of pain. Joy and pain. Nehemiah 8:10 is a well-known scripture. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Let's say that together. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It doesn't say joy is your strength. It's the joy of the Lord. It's having the presence of the Lord deep in your heart. That's the fountain of joy and strength. And here's a very interesting passage from James 1, verses 2 to 4. It says, consider it pure joy. Pure joy. I think of that as real, unadulterated, deep, and lasting joy. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Are you facing some trials? Do you know trials of many kinds? I think we all do. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So in the midst of the trials and tests and challenges of life, we can experience pure joy because it isn't dependent on our circumstances. It's the power, the love, the presence of Christ deep in our hearts. That's the source of joy, literally bubbling up like a fountain no matter what we're going through. Really want to encourage you in that today. I had a chaplain friend who served in the Minnesota State Legislature for many years who used to say that he believes that Christians go through something significant in their life on average every 4 months. It might relate to your family, you know, your marriage, your kids. Might relate to your workplace. Could be a health issue. Could be an issue with extended family. Could be a financial stress. But, you know, I think that's probably true, don't you? You know, if we look probably like at least three times a year, there's something that comes out of nowhere that provides a significant stress, a significant challenge of one time. And if we lose our joy every time we face a challenge, it's going to be kind of a tough road to hoe. I think that life is kind of like boot camp. And I say that because this afternoon we're going to see my niece, Taylor, who's 22 years old, graduated from college last year with a music degree. She's a trumpet player. And she enlisted in the Marines because she wants to play in the Marine Corps band. And she's just home from 4 months of Marine boot camp at Parris Island, South Carolina. And she made it. And we're so excited for her. She graduated a week ago. But she would be the most unlikely person to get through Marine Corps boot camp. I mean, this is a girl who never went on a hike, never went camping, never carried a backpack, never shot a gun, never did any of these things that you have to do to get through boot camp. And I'll tell you, those drill instructors, those DIs, I think they're in cahoots with the devil himself. Their sole mission is to drum you out in the first several weeks of boot camp, you know? And so, I mean, they go through hell and high water, literally. But Taylor knows the Lord. She was relying on the Lord for her strength. She was finding joy in the strength of the Lord. And she was bound and determined that she was going to get through because she had that vision of wanting to play her trumpet in the Marine Corps band. And by God's grace, she made it. And I'll tell you an interesting fact. Out of all our armed services, 15% are Marines. Of that 15%, only 8% are women, and less than 1% make it into the band. So those are some pretty significant odds, aren't they? But it shows that when we have Jesus in our hearts, God's grace overcomes and he gives us strength even as we're facing some great challenges in life. The next area I want to talk to you about is joy and relationships. And the Apostle Paul, who was a pastor to many new congregations, knew that relationships were so important. Look what he says in Philippians 1, verses 4 through 6. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Well, why would he do that? Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Friends, we are all on a journey together. And we're somewhere in that journey, each of us, in terms of our own personal relationship with Jesus. Some of you may be here as seekers this morning, wondering, do I believe in Jesus? Would I like to be a follower of Jesus? Some of you are new believers. Some of you have been followers of Christ for many years, and you've experienced the ups and downs, but by God's grace, you can say, I'm still growing as a Christian. And that's good, because that journey that we will be on, that will be completed at the day of Jesus Christ, that refers to heaven, when we meet Jesus face to face. So we want to keep becoming more Christ-like, and that's about finding joy in our relationship with Jesus and in our relationship with one another, partners in the gospel. It's meant to start here and extend to the world. Now, this next Wednesday through Friday, I'm going to be on a six-city tour throughout the state of Minnesota, and I want to tell you the background to this. I mentioned that there were about 15 or 20 ministries meeting together starting in the summer, talking about how we could reach out to impact all those who are coming here for the Super Bowl event on February 4th. And there's going to be something like 200,000 or 300,000 people to come into Minnesota. And so most of these ministries, as we were sitting around this table, were talking about personal evangelism opportunities, like at the concerts that'll be down on Nicollet Mall, at the Mall of America, which will be the hub for all the communications, various venues related to the Super Bowl. And most of these ministries have a passion for that one-on-one evangelism, you know? So I'm sitting at this meeting, honestly, asking, what fishes and loaves do I have to bring to the banquet? And I felt like the Lord gave me this idea. It just dropped into my heart, and when I shared it with that group, there was such a positive response. And I've mentioned it to you before. It's that concept of encouraging Christians all over Minnesota to host a Super Bowl party in their home on February 4th during the game, you know, and invite friends and neighbors, including some who don't know the Lord, some who they may have been praying for already through their adopted street. And so this is really being picked up on now by all these ministries, because they all have partners in the gospel all over the state, but they were focused on the event itself here in Minnesota. So then I'm praying more about this, and I really felt like the Lord said, I want you to go to six quadrants in outstate Minnesota, and I want you to find a champion there who will really raise the banner. And so I was saying, well, okay, Lord, that would be good to do like right after New Year, you know. And the Lord was saying, no, I want you to do it now. I'm saying, you're kidding me, before Christmas? There's a little few things going on around here, you know. But when we sense that the Lord is calling us to do something, we do it. And it was just as clear as could be to me that I was to head up a team that would visit Duluth, Bemidji, Brainerd, Alexandria, Rochester, and Mankato. So that's where we're going, two of those cities each day, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week. Dave Thompson, who's vice president of Transform Our World, is coming in to travel with me. Bob Bagney, who heads up Hope Connection here, and Mel Beaudry, who's a real estate guy in Elk River. Some of you know Mel. So we're going to be a team. We're going to head out, and we're going to identify partners in the gospel. We're going to build relationships with them, and we're going to cast vision not only for that Super Bowl party, but that's really just a catalyst for the transformation that God wants to see happen all over this state. But friends, here's what I believe. Every blessing that takes place in the body of Christ outside these walls is meant to be a blessing to what happens inside these walls. And every blessing that happens inside these walls is meant for us to take out there to all those people that we live with, that we work with, that we play with in the communities around us. So at the end of the service, I'm going to ask our prayer ministry team to come up and pray a prayer of blessing and release over me, because I go representing Christ Church, and I go representing this ministry that I lead called Bless Minnesota. But I need your prayers this week. I honestly believe that the success of this trip will depend on the power of your prayers, because this, friends, is home base. And this is where my spiritual authority derives from to go and share the gospel in other places. There's a passage in John 15 that is so powerful in its description of this. As the Father has loved me, Jesus said, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. So how is it that our joy will become more and more complete? It says it right there, you guys. It comes when we obey the commands of the Father and when we love one another. And I believe that that's why the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Joy is the second one in line. Everything flows out of love. And joy comes when we love even as Jesus loved us. Let's look at a couple of other examples here. The next one is joy and serving. And I want to take you back to Luke chapter 10 here. Remember where Jesus sent his disciples out two by two to every town and place that he was about to visit. And he told them, go there and speak peace, bless the people, fellowship with them, stay in their homes, respond to their felt needs, you know, heal the sick. And then he said, declare the kingdom of God has come near to you. So that was an evangelistic mission trip that he sent his disciples on two by two. And in Luke 10, 17, this is what they said when they came back. I don't know if you remember this. The 72 returned with what? With joy. And they said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Now, can we assume that they had a good time doing what Jesus told them to do? Of course. Anytime that we're obedient to the mission that God gives us, there's going to be joy. Will there be some challenges along the way? Sure. Jesus said, if people don't receive you, shake the dust off your feet and keep going. But these disciples came back, and my paraphrase would be, hey, Jesus, we did what you said, and it was really fun. And not only that, but even the demons submitted to us. In other words, not only that, but we had authority in the Spirit that we didn't necessarily expect to have. And four verses later, we find that word joy again. Luke 10, 21, at that time, Jesus, full of joy, through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and reveal them to little children. Yes, Father, this is what you were pleased to do. Friends, this is a window into the humanity of Christ. Do you remember on the cross when Jesus was in his last hours and he shouted out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That is an example of the humanity of Christ. He knew that God hadn't forsaken him. He was the Son of God. Of course he knew that. But in that human moment, that was the cry of his heart. And I believe here that we might ask, well, why would Jesus be full of joy through the Holy Spirit? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. But what we're seeing here is a human man who has followers, his disciples, and as he's seeing the joy in their hearts, he is likewise rejoicing like a father rejoices over a son or a daughter. And it flows through Jesus in his humanity by the power of the Spirit, just like it flows through us, through our humanity. So catch that phrase, let that speak to you. If Jesus could be full of joy through the Holy Spirit as his followers, we can expect the same. Now I want to talk about joy and worship. And let's bring this back to the Christmas story for a moment. In Matthew 2, there are the most provocative two verses. And here they are. When they saw the star, this is the kings. When they saw the star, they were what? Overjoyed. That means a lot of joy, doesn't it? If you're joyful, praise the Lord. If you're overjoyed, you're almost like overwhelmed by the joy you're experiencing. Have any of you ever been on a long trip where you just couldn't wait to get there, and when you finally did, you were just so happy you could hardly contain yourself? Well, I think we've all had experiences like that. These kings, some suggest, traveled as much as 2 years to get to Bethlehem. And you can read the backstory, their encounter with King Herod earlier in chapter 2. But here it says, they saw the star, they'd been following the star, but they saw the star as it actually now rested over Jesus' birthplace. They were overjoyed. Their trip had reached its culmination. And then it says, on coming to the house, they saw the child and his mother Mary, and what did they do? They bowed down and worshiped him. And that's when they opened their gifts, their treasures, and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And here's what I want you to see. We can worship and sing all the carols. We can follow the star and see lights everywhere. We can do all of the hoopla surrounding Christmas, but it's all meant to bring us to that one point where we bow down and worship Jesus. And if we miss that, we've missed it all. But these kings, these magi, these wise men, they got it. Yes, they were overjoyed when they finally saw their destination within reach. But the most important verse there is that when they saw Jesus, they bowed down and worshiped him. And that's every gift that flows out of us, friends, has to be a response to that worship. And here's one that I'm just throwing in as a bonus today. Are you ready? Psalm 96, verse 11. This is such a fascinating passage. Look how it just brings to life the whole world. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Did you know that trees can sing? Let all creation rejoice in the Lord, for he comes. Can you just picture those animals in the stable? Can you picture everything in the world praising Jesus? Why? Because he came and he comes again. And that's what we celebrate. And then I want to finish with this because it's all about joy and Jesus. Jesus is the source of that deep joy that doesn't change with our circumstances, down in the depths of our being that we can count on always. Look at this passage from 1 Peter 1, verses 8 and 9. Peter says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. How about that? For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Yesterday morning, we had the funeral here for Will Crone. And many of you remember Will. He was always in his wheelchair right on the end here, next to his caretaker Shannon and his friend Rick. They've been so faithful. As a matter of fact, I would go over and greet them on Sunday mornings, and Will was frequently ready to remind me that he was here every week. I'm here every Sunday, Pastor. Yeah, I know that, Will. Good to see you again. And just a great guy to have around. He passed away at age 52. And Will was born with muscular dystrophy and suffered with that incurable disease his whole life. When he was 4 years old, his parents were divorced. He was put in a foster home. He lived with a woman for many years over in Buffalo who was here yesterday to share some wonderful stories. And then 5 years and 8 months ago, he came to a group home over here in Otsego. And that's when he began to come and become a part of our church family. So we're going to miss Will a whole lot. But I want to tell you what the Lord did on the last day of his life. Some of you know. Last Sunday, Will was here in church, and he was worshiping as he always did to the best of his ability. And Will loved the Lord, and he believed in prayer. And so every Sunday after the service, he would come up to our prayer team and receive prayer. And often his prayers were not for himself, they were for somebody else that was on his heart. Maybe somebody over at the group home, or a family member, or somebody that he'd met up at Options in Big Lake. But Will was, you know, so faithful to receive prayer for himself and for others. And then last Sunday, we were having our Vikesgiving event. We were watching the Vikings up on the big screen. And so here was Will, right down in the front row, with his Vikings jersey on, enjoying the big day. But I have to tell you what happened before that. After church, we were out in the lobby. And as Will often did, he said, "Pastor, can I ask you a question?" And he'd ask me hundreds of questions, but he always prefaced every, "Pastor, can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure, Will, what's up?" He said, "I want to help." I said, "What do you mean you want to help?" "I want to do something." I said, "Well, what would you like to do?" And, you know, he'd said this before along the way over these years. And he said, "I don't know." And I said, "Well, you came up and helped us with Trunk or Treat on Halloween. Maybe you'd like to come and help us with A Night in Bethlehem." And he said, "Yeah, I'd like to do that." And I said, "Well, you were a chicken for Trunk or Treat. Maybe you could be a sheep for A Night in Bethlehem, but you'd have to be a good sheep, not a bad sheep." And he laughed at my joke, and so we agreed that that's what he was going to do. And then the game was going on, and I was visiting with a couple people during the game, and I came up and knelt down to him here, you know, most of the way through the first half, and I said, "Will, how you doing?" And he said, "He's doing good, and the Vikings were doing pretty good too," so he was enjoying the game. He couldn't eat any chili, you know, but he was glad to be here. And then he said, "Pastor, can I tell you something?" I said, "Sure, what's on your mind?" And he said, "Pastor, I love you." And I said, "Will, I love you too. I'm so glad you're here." And then he said, "Pastor, can I ask you something?" And I said, "Sure, Will." He said, "Could we sing Jesus Loves Me?" And I said, "Well, that was just our theme this morning, remember last week? And so maybe I can talk to Andrew, and Brant and Andrew are going to give away a few prizes at halftime, then maybe we could sing Jesus Loves Me." So they gave away their prizes, and then somebody said, "Let's get everybody up front for a picture." So up here we had lined up like 60, 70 people, however many were here. And I said, "Where's Will?" And all of a sudden, here he comes down, scooting down the aisle in his electric wheelchair, and we get him positioned right over here, and we took a big group picture. And then I stepped out and I said, "Hold it, everybody. Our theme this morning was love, and Will would like us to sing Jesus Loves Me." And Andrew put the microphone in his hand, and he led us all in a rousing version of Jesus Loves Me. It was just awesome, you guys. And then I had to leave to go see my grandson play hockey, but Will stayed for the rest of the game, and of course the Vikings won. And when he got home, he told Grandma Louise, the one who runs the house, what a wonderful day he'd had. And he said, "I got to sing Jesus Loves Me, and I even got to hold the microphone." So he was just thrilled. 8:30 Monday morning, I'm on my way over to Denny's to have a cup of coffee, and I get a call, and it's Louise. And she says, "I've got some sad news to share. Will died at 3 in the morning." Can you imagine a better last day of one's life than what Will Crone was blessed to experience? Friends, that was the Lord. That whole thing was just orchestrated by God, and some of us were blessed to be a part of it. Amen? So I share that with you because here's a man who loved the Lord. Jesus loves me was the expression of that for him. He had sung it at his mom and dad's funerals. He had sung it on a cruise ship in a talent contest, and there wasn't a dry eye in the place. This was his song, and he went out singing of his love for his Savior. So I want to invite you to stand. We're going to close with prayer here, and let's each take that same spirit with us today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us this morning that joy isn't a fleeting feeling that we can only hope to experience, you know, once in a great while at some momentous occasion in our life. It's something that you give by the Spirit deep in our hearts, deep in our souls, that is meant to be there in the midst of every circumstance. And yes, it bubbles up in special ways at special times, but can we know today that we can always count on the joy of the Lord? The joy of the Lord is our strength. So Lord, fill us with that joy during this Advent and Christmas season, and whatever challenges we may be facing, help us to face them yet with joy. We thank you for the relationships we have here, for the fact that we are partners in the gospel. Lord, we ask you to propel us forward into the rest of this season now as we welcome our community here for a night in Bethlehem, as we gather for Christmas Eve services on the 24th. And Lord, we as this mailing, a community mailing, goes out this week, Lord, I pray your blessing on those cards as they reach every home in Otsego, that many people who don't know Jesus will feel touched by your Spirit to come and share in these events, that they too would find this love and joy and peace in their hearts. I ask you to bless each person here this morning and fill them with your joy now. In Jesus' name, amen.